I don't know that I believe that there is somebody for everybody. I don't know that I believe that everybody gets a storybook happily ever after. Nothing about having children sounds fun. It all sounds limiting. I am very intentional about making sure that the life that I have now is the best that it can be, because what if this is as good as it gets? I think we've spent a lot of time trying to make things happen in our lives so that we can be happy when. I'll be happy when I meet my forever, my man, my man, my man. I'll be happy when I become a mom. I'll be happy when my business hits a certain amount of revenue. I don't want my life fulfillment to be rooted in, oh, when I get married, oh, when I start a family, oh, when I have this amount of money, oh, when I have this amount of stocks. To me, that robs you of experiencing the beauty that is your life right now. Sometimes I feel like that is the prayer that God just won't answer. I do not close my eyes and see myself at an altar or see myself with kids running around in the backyard in a white picket fence. We are taught that wholeness and fulfillment is rooted in starting a family and leaving a legacy. And so when I think about what legacy means to me, I don't see children as a part of that. I don't know if I want to have a life that becomes about somebody else. And when you have children, from that day forward, every thought is about somebody else. This one is for the millennial who is okay without ever being somebody's wife or mama. Let's go beneath the seams. Life can be so complex. The human experience is far more expansive than what we can see, and we spend so much time just trying to figure it out. We put on makeup, nice clothing, and we go out into the world trying to hold it all together. When beneath those seams, we are being ripped apart. Some of the ripping is self-inflicted, some of it is because of the pressure of society, but all of it is limiting. Limiting in our quest to just simply be who we truly are. We're more complex than we give ourselves credit for. We fill our brains with popular sayings like, oh, it ain't that serious, loosen up, or just live a little. But life in itself is a deep, non-surface level experience, and sometimes it can be pretty serious. So often we force ourselves to only exist at the surface, never allowing ourselves to be fully exposed. We let the layers pile up until the pressure becomes too much to bear, and then we rip, sometimes into shreds, and a lot of the times in silence. Beneath means to go below the surface, and seams are what are supposed to keep us joined together. Because we are taught, no matter what, you just have to keep yourself together. We create this image, never letting people in, never going beneath the seams. I don't know if we ever get the answers we expect from life, but I'm starting to find peace in the process of just figuring it out. Instead of forcing the complexities of this human experience to be hidden, let's peel back the layers and go beneath them. Beneath the Seams, a love letter to millennials who are just trying to figure it out. Beneath the Seams, the podcast, now available on all platforms. Welcome back to another episode of Beneath the Seams. I am your host, Kayla Riggins. Thank you for allowing me to be a voice in this conversation as we peel back the layers and we get personal. We tell all our business and we talk about the things that people don't be wanting to talk about. Today is no different. My goal here is for this experience to encourage us to be our true selves, to talk about things, to have the tough conversations so that we can ultimately have a human experience that is authentic to who we are. And the way to do that is we gotta stop being scared to say how we really feel. So these conversations, this podcast, this seat, the safe seats, the scene seat, that's what it's all about. So y'all ready to get into some business? Whew. Let's get into it. So it has been a week. Y'all know when I show up to this chair, I talk about the things that I am experiencing as I navigate life as a millennial in real time. And I share openly and unapologetically because I know, I trust that so many people are going through so much of the same things and people just aren't talking about it. And so I know that this message lands on not just the millennial generation. I have had people say, you know, I'm 50 years old. I'm 45 years old. I'm 19 years old. And this message resonated with me. And so I appreciate that. I know that this is definitely a space for everybody. So if anything I have ever said has resonated with you, you are my people. But I say it's my love letter to millennials just trying to figure it out because I am a millennial. And that's the perspective that I am speaking from because that is the experience that I'm living. Okay. And this has been a millennial week. Let me tell you, okay, I went to my cousin's baby shower over the weekend. And this is not a distant cousin, but we don't really talk a lot. I just moved back to Atlanta a year ago and I bumped into her. So I moved back to Atlanta in May of last year. I bumped into her in June and she's out here living her best life with her gentleman, got her man, honey. And they had moved in together and we ran into each other at a bar. And, you know, I was like, cousin, again, we grew up together in terms of like Christmases and going over. Her grandmother and my grandmother are sisters. So of course, when the grandmothers were still living, it was more of like, you know, so-and-so is cooking for the holidays or so-and-so's birthday. And so we saw each other a lot more at those gatherings. In our adult life, we don't see each other much, but we still keep in touch on social and just keep up with what's going on in each other's lives, right? And so I received a invitation. And so when we saw each other last year, I was like, I'm back. We're going to hang out. Like, we're going to do the damn thing. We're going to be young and fun. Ciao. The next time I heard from cousin, it was a baby shower invitation. And so I was like, wow, what a difference a year makes. I actually got you know how the iPhone reminds you of what you were doing this time last year? So June 2nd of last year is when I bumped into her and we took a selfie. And then June 2nd of this year, I was at her baby shower. So life comes at you quick. And so me being around family, many of the people in the room, I just haven't seen in a really long time. Some of my family that lives here didn't even know I was back in Georgia. I'm not the biggest, maybe because I'm an only child and it's always been just me and my mama. I have a big family, but I'm not the most family oriented person. Like some people really need to always talk to and be around their family. I've never really felt connected in that way. Like I see y'all, we know each other. I love y'all, but we don't really have like a close relationship. Child, that's probably something I need to unpack in therapy as well. But that's just the dynamics of how things have been in my adult life. And so I'm at the baby shower. I'm seeing friends, family, just people I haven't seen in a long time. And I'm looking around the room and I'm like, wow, look at how quickly her life changed. She is, if I'm 33, she must be 36, 35, 36. So she's a couple of years older than me. And this is her first child. So is her boyfriend. And so they are just getting ready to move into the next chapter in life. And the room is filled with love and smiles and celebration and everybody rubbing her baby bump. And I just couldn't help but think, I don't want that. Like, I don't know if that is what happiness will look like for me. And so I started to think, like, if I'm rich auntie forever, if I never get married, if I never have kids, what does happiness look like inside of that life? I think we spend a lot of time trying to make things happen in our lives so that we can be happy when. I'll be happy when I meet my forever, my man, my man, my man. I'll be happy when I become a mom. I'll be happy when my business hits a certain amount of revenue. I am still not sure that that's even something that I want. And so because of that, I am very intentional about making sure that the life that I have now is the best that it can be. Because what if, just go with me here, what if this is as good as it gets? Now, I don't want to hear nothing about, oh, Kayla, that's a very pessimistic perspective, or, you know, you're being cynical. Blah, I don't want to hear it. Are we going to talk? Can we talk? Y'all know that's my Wendy Williams impersonation. Can we talk? If we're going to talk about it, let's talk about it. Let's have a real conversation about the fact that this may be the life that you have now, what you are experiencing right now, may be as good as it gets. And if that is so, I don't want to put all of my eggs in the I will feel fulfilled when this happens basket. I don't want my life fulfillment to be rooted in, oh, when I get married, oh, when I start a family, oh, when I have this amount of money, oh, when I have this amount of stocks. To me, that robs you of experiencing the beauty that is your life right now. And because I'm a woman who, I'm not sure if I want them damn kids, and we're gonna unpack that. At one point, I really desired marriage. Now I just desire a partner. Like, I really could be, this is my man, and we ride out. I would like to get married, but it doesn't have to happen. And so as I'm thinking through the rough emotional week I was having, y'all, I'm emotional. The zodiacs and stuff, I think that there are certain parallels, but I don't really swear by it. But I am a Pisces, and they say we be emotional, and that's one truth that is true, okay? And so I just had a very emotional past couple of weeks, and I started to feel lonely, like this extreme sense of loneliness about what is it that's missing from my life. And it's crazy because you start to look around at the family or the children or the husbands that other people have, and you start to think, okay, well, maybe that's it. And then you have a huge gut check, and it's like, I don't even want that. That's not even what I want for my life. I can close my eyes and see myself speaking on stages, hosting retreats, gathering the Beneath the Seams community, and we are, you know, on vacation somewhere. So when we talk about like career things, I can see it very clearly. When it comes to my personal life, I'm gonna be real honest with y'all. Sometimes I feel like that is the prayer that God just won't answer. I do not close my eyes and see myself at an altar or see myself with kids running around in the backyard in a white picket fence. We are taught that wholeness and fulfillment is rooted in starting a family and leaving a legacy. And so when I think about what legacy means to me, I don't see children as a part of that. Now, I'm a woman, and I reserve the right to change my mind. My mama always say, what good is a mind if you can't change it? So if I wake up tomorrow and I want to be somebody mama, then that's what I'm going to do. If I wake up at 40 and decide, girl, everything you said on that podcast 7 years ago, you are crazy, and I have completely changed my mind, then guess what? I'm going to go be somebody mama. I'm going to go be somebody wife, whatever. Nothing that I'm saying is solid. Nothing that I'm saying is etched in stone. And I think that that's kind of like what life is about. A lot of what I'm saying and a lot of what I'm going to say is going to be contradictory. So get over that too, because life is one big contradiction. And I don't think we even talk about that enough. So I reserve the right to change my mind. But for now, I'm not the woman who is in her early, am I in my early 30s or am I in my mid 30s? Y'all let me know in the comments. What is 33? I'm still holding on to early 30s. I feel like you hit the mids when you hit 34. So for now, I'm gonna go with early 30, but y'all correct me in the comments if y'all feel like, girl, you playing, it's mid, it's giving mid. But in my early 30s, I am not the woman who is waiting for this magical happy ending. I am more focused on creating a happy ending. And that starts with being happy right now and designing my life for what I want it to look like in the future right now, and being okay and at peace with, what if it doesn't get any better than this? Now, I do know, and I'm gonna be real honest with y'all. I do know financially it will get better. I know that when it comes to my career and accomplishing goals and things that I want to do, I will consistently level up. But when it comes to my personal life, I do not have the same type of faith. And I think it's because there's no proof of concept. Like, in my rational mind, if I go really hard in my business, set goals 6 months, a year, I will start to see the fruit of that labor. There are practical steps that you can take, tangible changes that you can make to see results in your business, in your career. I know that spiritually, if I set intentional time with God, if I fast, if I pray, I will start to see results in my relationship with God. I know that if I physically want to look better in my clothes or drop a couple of pounds, if I get really consistent for 3 months, 6 months, I cut back on certain foods, I prioritize moving my body, I am going to lose weight at the end of that 3 and 6 months. So in my mind, those things have proof of concept. It's practical, tangible outcomes. Girl, it ain't been nothing I could do to make my dating life better. No matter how hard I try to be open, no matter how hard I pray about it, no matter how hard I try to have just an optimistic, positive mindset, there aren't any steps, any proof of concept, any tangible action steps that you can take to ensure that you will find the love of your life, that y'all will live happily ever after. And so I think in my mind, that's why I sometimes just write it off. And this is something that makes me very emotional. In this seat, I'm able to articulate how I feel without getting emotional because I just decided I'm gonna be vulnerable and tell y'all my truth. But when I think about these things in my alone time, it brings me to tears because it is something that I do want. I do want love in my life. I want to experience companionship. And I feel like I have so much love to give. I actually posted on my stories, my Instagram stories last night. I was like, what did it say? I think I said, what did I say? Wait, let me read it to y'all exactly. I said, I think I threaded it as well. I said, I really have no business being single. And it was just a late night thought I was having. I posted it like 11 o'clock last night. And I was like, I'm that girl. And I just have no business being single. Like somebody should be just snatched me up. Like I'm snatch up material. And so that's my way of like being jovial about it. And of course, you know, laughing so that you can keep from crying. But in my loneliest of days, in my darkest of hours, it is something that really makes me sad. And so I don't want to be hyper focused on my life will be better when this happens. My life will be better if this happens, which is why I'm being very intentional about living unapologetically now. Because if it doesn't get any better than this, I want to make sure that this is the best. And so when you think about dating and trying to find your person, I don't believe, now again, I don't want to hear y'all mouth about that ain't the right attitude to have. I mean, sure, I can hear y'all mouth. We could fight in the comments. We could tussle. But I understand that some people are going to say it's a very pessimistic thought. And as long as you feel like that, that's the energy that you're going to attract. I understand that there is a group of people that's going to feel like that. But I'm going to say this, and I'm just going to trust that this is a safe space and that some of y'all out there are going to feel me. I don't know that I believe that there is somebody for everybody. I don't know that I believe that everybody gets a storybook happily ever after. Everyone does not meet their soulmate and build a family and build an empire. I don't know that I believe that to be true. And it's not because I don't see it around me. It's because I've never seen it close to me. I always say I want to witness love. I've never seen it close. And so just to give you a little bit of family history, my grandfather and grandmother were married. He was very abusive. He would beat the hell out of her. She divorced him, left him, took her kids, which is my mama and her siblings. And I knew my grandfather, but he died when I was 5. So there haven't been any really strong masculine figures in my life. So that was grandfather. My mama and my daddy, I always say they had a little summer fling. I was born in 91. So I always say the summer of 91 was popping. You know, my mama was 30, you know, living her best life, like me, being cute or whatever. And, you know, she met her little dude and it resulted in me being here. And we thank God for that. But the way my mama tells the story, they were never really together in a way that she desired. They tried. It didn't work out. He wasn't ready to do the whole family thing. He was still playing, still in the streets. And she was like, look, I got a baby to raise. Bye. And unfortunately, we've never really had a relationship. When it comes to his side of the family, them my people. My Nana over there, my aunties, my cousins, every summer, every Christmas, I was with them. They sent for me. And so always had a relationship with his family, but I can count the number of times on one hand that I've actually seen my father in real life. And we can unpack the whole daddy issues in another episode, but I definitely think the lack of male presence in my life contributes to my attitude about, I don't know if everybody gets this. I don't know if this is possible. I've seen my mama deal with men. Like I've seen like, oh, Mr. So-and-so, or oh, so-and-so, but I've never really seen my mama have a man. Now, maybe she living this whole secret life that I don't know anything about, and I wouldn't put it past her, because I wouldn't put it past me either. That's where I get my whole privacy thing from. As vulnerable as I am, as much as I share, I live a very private life, y'all. I'm a very private person. You don't know nothing I don't want you to know. So if my mama had a whole man out here, I wouldn't be surprised. But based on what she shared with me, we are going through some of the same things. I share with her my dating life. I share with her some stories from the apps and some of the things the men are saying and just a lot of the things that I'm dealing with. And she was like, sometimes it makes her sad. She was like, my poor child is going through the same thing that I went through. And so to hear her say that, I didn't get sad all over again, because it's like, I want to witness love. I've never seen it close. I've never seen my mama in love. I've never seen my grandmother in love in a happy and whole relationship. And so it has altered my experience and my perspective on whether or not that is possible for me. They tell you, oh, there's someone for everybody. Oh, everybody meets their soulmate. Oh, it'll happen. Okay, so explain the millions of women who it's never happened for. There are a lot of women who have never had children, never been married. There are a lot of really successful, polished, well put together women who society would deem a great catch who have never experienced that. So if there is someone for everyone, can we get those women on the line to ask them what had happened in their lives? Where is their soulmate? I also think it's a very limiting and unrealistic saying to have people go through life expecting that one day it will just happen, that one day he will appear and it will just happen and things will fall into place. That is not everybody's story. And so I want to be able to control the part that I can, which is what my happiness looks like right now and what that narrative can be if it doesn't get any better than this. I used to think when I was a little girl, I used to think that boyfriends were, this is so funny because the mind of a kid, I used to think that boyfriends was just something that you grow up and get. I had no idea it was this ghetto out here. Like, I saw my older cousins and aunts and stuff with significant others, people that they were dating. And I just thought, oh, you grow up and you get a boyfriend. Like, they just come, like it just happens. I had no idea that you had to like work and figure it out and go through some things and deal with heartbreak. And now in my 30s, I realized that I thought that way because that's kind of like how we're conditioned to think. Like, marriage and family happens for everybody, and it just does not. And for me, I don't even know that I want it to happen. I'm gonna be honest with y'all. Nothing about them cheering seems attractive. I am either the only one or the last of two people in every friend group that I have that doesn't have children. Everybody got kids. And I am captain of the TT gang. I love those kids down. But when I think about them having to come home with me and stay with me and I gotta feed them and stuff, I don't know if I see my life in that way. And it's like people put children on you. People say, you'll see when you have kids, or wait till you have kids. Girl, you be traveling. You be doing, this is something people say. I traveled a lot in my 20s, from like 25 to 30. I traveled a lot. Then the pandemic came and things kind of changed. I got to get back on the airplanes. God, I love being at the airport. But anyway, I traveled a lot in my 20s. Like, I used to be somewhere every other month. And people would say things like, go ahead on, girl, you better travel. You know, my mama's coworkers and people like that. You better travel. Like, Kayla be gone, but she better get it out her system, because when she have them kids, it's going to be over for all that. And I'm like, for a group of people who wants me to have kids, y'all don't make it sound attractive. Nothing about having children sounds fun. It all sounds limiting. Oh, I can't go because I don't have the money, because I have to pay for so-and-so's dance recital. Or, you know, she grew an extra shoe size last month, and so now I gotta buy all new shoes. And I know that this isn't everybody's reality, but watching my friends be mothers, ooh, I gotta catch myself. I'm going to say this, but I don't mean it how it's finna sound. But because we're going beneath the seams, I'm going to keep it real. Watching my friends be mothers is a turnoff. And it's not because they aren't having a beautiful experience, it's the parts of it that's not so beautiful. I don't know if I want to endure that. Me and my friends have very candid conversations, and sometimes motherhood can be rough. And when I think about my life and the fact that I only have to think about me, I don't know that I want to wake up in the morning and have to think about somebody else. And when you have children, and when you have a husband, and when you have a man, and you have a family, your life becomes about other people. And in my early 30s, because we're going to go with that, I don't know right now. I don't know if I want to have a life that becomes about somebody else. And when you have children, from that day forward, every thought is about somebody else. And call it selfish, but I think either way is selfish. To have children is selfish, to not have them is selfish. So whatever label you want to throw, baby, throw it. We could tussle, okay? I fight back. And so when I watch my friends be mothers, they just, you know, it's a lot of growing pains. It's a lot of self-discovery. Like, you are figuring out this child and who they are, and you're trying to be their mom while also still getting to know yourself. And when I think about my own mental hurdles, my own struggles right now, sometimes I walk around here and I'm like, God, I'm so glad that all I had to do was me today. All I had to think about was what I was gonna eat. Sometimes I'm so mentally down, I couldn't imagine having to feed somebody after the day that I just had. I couldn't imagine having to make sure that somebody else was good and comfort somebody else when I need comforting. It's just very scary to me. And another thing is, I have the best mama in the world. I always say I know for a fact that God loves me because of the mama he gave me. And when I think about how good of a mother she is and has been and will continue to be to me, I don't know if I could fill them shoes. I don't know if I got it in me to be somebody mama in the way she has been my mama. Like, best mama in the world, fight me, I don't care. Y'all mamas is cool, but it ain't no mama like the one I got. And so it's just a constant, like, back and forth. And I told y'all a lot of things that I was gonna say in this conversation would be just a tad contradictory, but I'm just being honest and expressing, like, the thoughts that go back and forth in my mind. And so I remember having this conversation with an old friend, and let me tell y'all something about me. I'm going to take a nap. I don't care what's going on in my life. When it comes to sleep, I'm not going to miss out. You know how some people, they're depressed or things are going on and they can't sleep? Baby, Glorilla say, I don't be effed up about nothing because I be smoking weed. I say, I don't be effed up about nothing because I be sleep. So it's not even going to be able to penetrate my soul, baby, because I'm unconscious. Okay. And so when the rare chance where I'm missing sleep, that's something really got to be happening. I don't have trouble sleeping. And so when I'm in my most successful routine, I wake up anywhere between 5:30 and 6 o'clock and get my day started. And so around 2 o'clock, I will go down for a nap just like a baby. And when I'm in that routine, I regularly take my 2 o'clock nap. And one day this friend had called me. I missed her call. My phone might've been on do not disturb. And, I called her back and she was like, you asleep? I was like, girl, yes. And she was like, girl, you be taking your naps. And I was like, and do, cause one thing about me, I'm a nap. And she chuckled and she said, that's so funny. She was like, I can't wait till you have kids. And I'm like, why do y'all, everything that is privileged or everything that is easy about my single life, people always say that it's going to end when I have children. So why would I be attracted to that? You can't wait till I have kids because I won't have room to take naps anymore. So in my first of all, you can't wait till I have kids. Please wait, because who told you I even wanted kids? People love putting children on you. They just assume that you want children, and everybody doesn't want to be bothered with that. And so I'm like, the implication here is that when I have children, the naps will have to end, or I won't have time or capacity to do it. And that's yet another thing on the list that doesn't make that attractive to me. You got people saying she better get all her traveling out because once she have kids, that's going to be the end of that. Then you got people saying, I can't wait till you have kids because nap time is going to be over. Why would I want to sign up for that? What is attractive about that if that is what the motherly experience is about? Now, when it comes to having a family, because it was just me and my mama and I never seen that up close to, I don't think I have a really strong desire for it, but I do have a desire for companionship. It gets so lonely up and through here. I do sometimes get scared at the idea of, oh my God, will this still be my life when I'm 50? Like, will I still be rich auntie? You know, I know that I'll have a great life. I'm very sure that my life will be beautiful because it is now. And I'm not even half that girl that I'm really finna be. Okay. I'm that girl. But there's an evolution to that girl that I haven't even tapped into yet. And I know that in my soul. I feel that in my spirit and in my frequency. And so I think that my life will be that way because those are the parts that I can control. But when it comes to matters of the heart, when it comes to the things that we care about the most, those are the things that we can't really seem to control. And for those reasons, I haven't wrapped my identity and my hopefulness and my desires around hoping and manifesting that those things will happen. I want to be happy with my life if this is as good as it gets. If I never have children, if I'm never somebody's wife, if I never meet the love of my life, I want to still be happy. And so I've been very intentionally focused on designing my life in a way and redefining what happiness looks like without those things. I would love to hear from, if you got children, give me your perspective. Drop down in the comments and let me know what your perspective has been. And if you are in your 40s or in your 50s and you don't have children, I love when people who have a little bit more seasoning, a little bit more life experience, reach back and tell the young girls what to do differently or just share their experience. When I think about people in the media like a Tracee Ellis Ross, who has never had children and who has never publicly been in a relationship, like that lady could be married for all we know, but let's just go with what we know publicly. When I look at people like that, she lives on paper, on the surface, a very fabulous, well put together, seemingly happy life. And so I want to hear from the people who chose to not go the family route. What do I have to look forward to? What is life like if that is the trajectory of my life? Do you have any regrets? Would you have done anything differently? And then if you do have children, because I'm not opposed, I always say, if it happens, it happens. If I wake up tomorrow, meet the man of my life, and he like, baby, we finna have these kids and we finna build this empire, let's do it. Okay, if we are aligned, let's do it. But if it does not happen, I'm okay with that. And so for those of you who do have kids, I would love to know your perspective on navigating, getting to know yourself as you're getting to know those children, some of the hardships. Do you have any regrets? Would you have done anything different? I just want to be able to have this conversation freely. And more so, everybody, no matter which path you choose, I want acceptance. I want us all to be able to have good lives and build good lives around things that we truly desire, not what society has told us that a good life looks like. And I know, y'all know I've been on this spiritual journey, but I'm being very honest when I say that is the one prayer. Like, I have prayed for companionship. I have prayed for partnership. That is the one prayer that God just sends to the spam folder. And maybe it's not my time. Maybe my time is coming. Maybe it's not. But I want to be able to be peaceful either way. And so if I'm praying the wrong prayer, if I'm doing something wrong, I'm open to, which I don't believe in that, right? But I'm open to y'all's feedback. I don't believe in the whole Sierra's prayer thing. I think that that was very specific and unique to Sierra's life. And we all have our own path, our own journey. And we have to get very honest about what we want. And I do believe in going after those things. But at the same time, I do think that some things are just simply beyond our control. And when it comes to matters of the heart in my life, in my salvation, it seems to be out of my control. And sometimes it makes me really sad. But in this season of my life, I am working on how to be happy anyway. Because in the event that this is as good as it gets, I don't want to be miserable. I don't want to be sad. When you build your life around the, I will be happy when this happens, or I'll do this when this happens, you miss the moments and the beauty of what's happening around you right now. I don't want to build my life around the what ifs or the what was, for that matter. I am being very intentional about designing my life around the What's happening now that I can be grateful for, that I can embrace the beauty that is right here in my life right now? The best reality star to ever do it, Lanithia Nene Leakes, one of her quotables, she said, "Don't tell me about what was, tell me about what's now." And so that's how I feel. It's like, I don't want to talk about what's now, and I don't always want to talk about what's to come, because there's uncertainty in both of those experiences. What already happened, happened, can't change it. What's to come, we don't really know what that's going to look like. But what we can control and embrace is the present. That's why they call it a present, right? It's a gift, because it's the only thing that you really get to have, which is right now. And so that's just my focus. That's where I've been at this week. I'm still looking for y'all cousins and brothers, and I guess I'll take a couple of baby daddies. I'm still trying to date y'all. I am not giving up hope, and I hope that this message was heard through the lens of there is still a lot of hope and desire, still a lot of belief in the things that I want in my personal life being possible. So this is not a hopeless message. This is just a realistic message that this may not happen for me. I don't even know that I want these things to happen for me. And here's how I'm navigating through that. Okay, so before we get out of here, this is the part of the show where we go beneath the comments, because you guys know that this is our podcast. This is our conversation. Thank you for trusting me to be your guide in this experience. But this is really for us. I feel like this is a part of my life's work. This is a part of my calling. I don't take for granted that my voice and the way I think and my perspective is a part of my gift. And I have been asking God for vision and using that to help other people. I pray all the time that I hope this message lands on whoever needs to hear it. And so because of that, I want you guys to actively and always be a part of this experience. And so when we go beneath the comments, this is where y'all get to talk back to me until we're having live shows. Come on, manifestation. Yes, I'm putting it out into the air. Until the podcast is on tour and we're having live shows and retreats and in-person experiences where you guys can actually talk back to me. The comments is the way you do it. So before we go beneath the comments, I would love for you guys to stop. If you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, stop right now, wherever you're having the audio experience, and please rate, review, and leave a comment. The comments over there, the reviews over there are struggling. But I'm looking at the numbers and I know y'all are listening, which I appreciate. I appreciate your listenership, but leaving a review goes a long way. It definitely helps other people discover the podcast. It helps more people become a part of our mission and my community. And it's just going to help us be better when we can get around like-minded people. And so I have goals and a lot of things that I'm working on. And so y'all, please, if anything I have ever said meant anything to you, please stop and leave a comment, leave a review, rate it 5 stars, or you can tell the truth. Maybe you don't think she's, you know, maybe you don't think she's a 5-star chick. Maybe you think she's a 4.5-star chick. We'll take it. Whatever your honest review of it is, please just leave it over there on Apple Podcasts. And if you are watching the YouTube experience, you're getting a visual, okay? You see the material with the visual. Always subscribe, like, share, pass it on to people who will also enjoy this conversation, and leave me a comment, because this is how I can hear what you're thinking. I read it on the next episodes, and this is how we keep the conversation going. So going beneath the comments, Michelle Cook, is it Michelle or is it Mitchell? Because it looks like Mitchell, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is a woman. So maybe it is Mitchell Cook. Mitchell Cook or Michelle Cook 7572. Correct me, because I think I've read one of your comments before. So correct me down in the comments, girl. What is your name? On the episode title, Growth is Scary, But We Have to Get Over It, she wrote, please, please, please. Right? She wrote it 4 times. Please, please, please. And then the 4th one was in all caps. Continue to post and pour yourself into this outlet. You make content way more appealing and entertaining than most current influencers and whatnot. Keep being you. Keep showing it to the world. The platform, the space you're making will be so impactful. And thank you so much for that affirmation, because I have been very transparent and candid to y'all about this journey, and showing up to this seat is one that is challenging because it does require a lot of emotional capacity. I get in my head about it sometimes. I do. I'm human. Like, I'm a confident person, but I definitely live in my head and I overthink. And so when people say stuff like this, when you are are able to tell me that this is impactful and that this is helping you, that is definitely a push, a nudge for me to continue to show up, because I do believe that this is tied to a greater purpose. So it warms my heart that you said, please continue to post and pour yourself into this outlet. I will, girl. You have my word. I will. Pray for me. Okay, pray for me. If I go missing, I miss an episode or something, say a little prayer, send me a little DM and be like, girl, where you at? because I definitely need it, but I appreciate it. And then another comment that I would like to read. This is Corey Love 8036. I believe I read one of her comments before as well. And she said, first of all, I love that I'm seeing reoccurring names. Like, I'm working on something for y'all so that we can meet virtually via the Zoom. So if you are a returned listener or watcher, please be on the lookout for that. Send me a DM so I can know to grab your email, and you'll be one of the first people that I put together when the community is ready, when the experience is ready. But I love that I'm seeing returning people. It warms my heart that we are building community and I'm finding my people. I think we just really need conversations like this. People have even said that they've been encouraged to talk about some of these things now after listening to this conversation. So I appreciate that. She said, I enjoy your podcast. The way you articulate your feelings is inspiring me to start journaling again and to be comfortable with my own voice. Please do a full episode on overthinking. It's coming. The overthinking episode is definitely coming. But what I loved about her comment so much is that she complimented the way I articulate my feelings. And I appreciated that because that's something that people have shunned in the past or haven't been the most receptive to. People don't like to have the tough and deep, honest conversations. And sometimes people, when they see you coming or you want to talk about something, they're like, here she go. So for me to be able to use my voice to help you use yours, she says it's inspired her to start journaling and being comfortable with her own voice. That right there is what I pray for. I think that my gift, a part of my gifting, is for me to use my voice to inspire women and to help women use their own. And so even when I'm in my head and when I'm going through my own shit, seeing stuff like this pulls me out of it because it's bigger than me. So thank you so much for your comment. And I hope you get back to journaling. I shared with her that I'm not the biggest journaling person. There are seasons where I will do it, but this is my form of journaling, this podcast. And so I'm glad that this has inspired some type of creative release for you. Okay, so you guys know before I get out of here, I like to share because no matter what is going on, no matter how good or bad it is, gratitude is the attitude. And I like to always just be intentional about taking a step to say, okay, well, in the midst of everything that's going on, what am I enjoying the most about life right now? What is this human experience giving me that I'm actually happy about, that I feel joy or excitement from? And right now, I am enjoying getting to know myself. I feel like because I've recommitted to this podcast, to this content, it's also caused elevation in my real life. And it's caused me to get to understand more about myself because I'm being bold in these conversations here and these subject matters. It's causing me to think and it's causing me to be very much more authentic in my interpersonal relationships. And I'm proud of that because I went through seasons where I would shrink, where I would hold back and I would not really be myself. And so I'm getting to know myself deeper as I am hopefully helping you guys do the same. And I'm really enjoying that. The most time you spend with anybody on this earth is going to be with yourself. The most precious and significant relationship is the one that you have with yourself. So we got to know who she is. And I am really enjoying just getting to know more about myself. What makes me happy? What makes me sad? What pisses me the hell off? What makes me tick? Like, I'm just really enjoying that process. And so let me know in the comments, what are you currently enjoying in life right now? And then of course, continue to leave your feedback, your questions, your episode suggestions, all of your comments, whatever you want to talk about. I answer every single one of them. I don't always get back timely because I don't want to just say, oh, thank you, thumbs up, thank you for watching, or, you know, heart eye emoji. I like to be intentional because I know there is some depth and gravity of the conversations that we're having. And so I don't want to, you know, just leave a thank you, sis. You know, sometimes if the comment warrants a thank you, sis, then we'll do it. But you guys are like leaving sentences and sometimes paragraphs. And so I like to take time to really get back to you. So bear with me, but I'll be down there beneath the comments. So meet me there and join me there. Okay. Thank you. All right, y'all, that will do it for today's episode of Beneath the Seams. Listen, wherever you are in your journey, whether you want kids, whether you want to be married, whether you don't want no children and you've decided this is the life I'm going to live, kid free, whether you ain't thinking about no man or you out here in the mix in the streets like me trying to figure it out, no matter where you are in the journey of redefining what happiness looks like to you, my wish for you, my prayer for you, my hope for you is that you simply find peace in the process of just figuring it out. I'll see you guys on the next episode. Bye.